Hello, everyone. We are live. Today is September 8th, 2025. I have decorated for fall. So we have the fall background because in New York, obviously, we have a change of seasons. So we decided to change it around for fall for all of you. Welcome to everyone jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I see people coming in from Pennsylvania, Minnesota. Oh, let's see who else is coming in. The chat's starting to pick up here. The Netherlands. Hello to our international audience now that is beginning to join us. We're so happy to have you with us. I see Washington State as well, North Carolina, Indiana, Massachusetts, Midland, Michigan as well. Welcome to you. Alabama, Arizona as well, I see coming in. Detroit, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as well. Hello to our neighbors in Pennsylvania. We're so happy to have you with us. I'll do a few more here as people are coming on. Texas, God bless Texas. Hello to our friends in the UK that are joining us across the pond in England. We're very happy to have you with us. I see Rhode Island as well. Ohio, Cincinnati, New Jersey. Well, Rabbi Jonathan's from New Jersey. So we're going to be talking about that as well. So hello to our wonderful neighbors in New Jersey. We're happy to have you with us, as well as I see Omaha and Louisiana and South Africa. Hello to our wonderful friends in South Africa joining us as well, and the rest of our international audience that are coming in. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. So we have a jam-packed broadcast tonight. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is here with us. I'm going to bring him on in just a few minutes. We are going to be talking about Avatar, his latest book that is out that is filled with mysteries pertaining to America. So this is going to, we always have fun prophetically together when the two of us get on together. So this is going to be an anointed time in the Lord. So what I'm going to do, as the rest of you are jumping on, our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I'm going to open up in prayer. Public service announcement. My husband could run in at any moment, and he's hopped up on caffeine. He's very excited. Rabbi Jonathan is here. So I'm just giving a public service announcement right now. This could happen at some point during the broadcast. So let's open up in prayer, begin, and we'll get Rabbi Jonathan on in just a few minutes. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you that you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father God, forgive us of every way we fall short. We praise you that your mercies are new every single day. We come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we acknowledge this day before your throne that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. He was the Pesach Lamb, the Passover Lamb. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And he miraculously rose again. He said, it is finished at the cross. He paid the price in full. He descended into the underworld, took the keys from death. He miraculously rose again, defeated hell, death, and the grave, and is ruling and reigning at your right hand forevermore, Father. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, we welcome your presence. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the power of your presence mightily move in this place. Lead and guide us in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Go before us. Be our front and rear guard, Father God, as we go forth tonight. Order our steps. Order our words, Father God, in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God. May only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through our mouths that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow us, Father, the humble privilege, Lord, of being vessels of your power, Father. And Lord, we ask you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions in the name of Jesus Christ to surround this place, the skies, the land above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, as we go forth tonight. That in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke any assignment plot, scheme, contract, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage that the kingdom of darkness, evil agents, Father God would attempt in any way, shape, or form. We command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, and their communication lies disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in his place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. You are Yahweh. You are the breath, and we owe you every breath, Father. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We praise you. We bless your holy name tonight, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We're going to welcome the presence of the Lord in right. That's what we do. I love to do that because God is a God of order and he deserves that. He deserves coming first. He deserves his presence coming before us as we go forth in our walk with him. So I'm going to bring on, if you want to share this broadcast now, please do, because Rabbi Jonathan's coming on in just a minute here. I'm going to intro him in and then we are going to talk about Avatar. Jonathan Cahn has been named along with Billy Graham as one of the top spiritual leaders to have radically impacted our world in modern times. He has spoken at the United Nations, on Capitol Hill, to members of Congress, and to millions around the world. Every one of his books, starting with The Harbinger to The Dragon's Prophecy, has become a New York Times bestseller. He is recognized as a prophetic voice for our times. He leads Beth Israel at the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, New Jersey, and Hope of the World Ministry, which is a world outreach of God's word and compassion to the world's most needy. You can go to hopeoftheworld.org to learn more. Let us bring in Rabbi Jonathan Cahn.
Hey, great to be with you.
Wonderful to be with you.
Always great to be back. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So Rabbi Jonathan, you have a book out filled with mysteries and unpacking those mysteries called Avatar, right? Yeah. Which I think is a wonderful name.
Yeah, it's The Avatar, separated a little bit from the movie. We don't want people to be confused with the movie, but The Avatar, yeah. Yeah, The Avatar, I would say, Amanda, I mean, you know we've been doing this for a number of years, and I've written explosive books, but I believe this is the most explosive because The Avatar is really pulling away the veil behind everything that's happening, what we're seeing from the cultural realm, the political realm, everything, news, events. And there's a whole nother realm that's stunning and of mysteries that are stunning. And I mean, mysteries that are determining who rises, who falls, what happens with the elections, go which way or another way. Mysteries of avatars are the forces that are, that are at work behind what we're seeing in America and even people who are part of this, And so it is, I'd have to say, I believe it's the most explosive.
I want to read, if that's okay, just a few sentences from page 4.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, they gained their entrance in the name of tolerance and freedom, but such things were never their goal, only the means by which their goal, dominion, could be achieved. And so it is no accident that American and Western civilizations have witnessed the emergence of a cultural totalitarianism, a repressive consensus that seeks the cancellation of all opposition and the elimination of Judeo-Christian foundation upon which those civilizations have for ages stood. That's a mouthful.
I don't even remember. And what that's talking about when it says they gained their entrance, it's talking about the forces. When you drive God out, other forces come in. And, the Bible speaks of gods, false gods, but behind the gods are spirits. And so when we drove out God in American culture, mainstream culture in the West, other forces came in. That the Bible warns of that. And we actually can identify them. They're actually the same forces that the Bible speaks about that came into Israel when Israel turned away from God. And the thing is, when they come in, it's, when like the 60s and the 70s, it was in the name of tolerance, open up, to the new morality, new things. But once they get entrenched, then it's every knee shall bow. Then it's cancel everyone. And that's where we were up to. That's where this was going. Up to very recently when God did something, So this is part of the battle and this part of the thing that we are in the midst of.
Now, you share something in this book about your encounter with the gods, right, or spirits, and something happened to you profound in India when you sounded the shofar. What happened?
Yeah, this is the first time, Amanda, where I'm not just talking about the gods and, again, the spirits, but that I share my encounter with them when I went into the nations. And one first one was India. Now, India has, you know, they worship 30 million gods, you know, so you know there's going to be spiritual things going on. And that was how to be the most dangerous thing I ever did. I was asked to walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Thomas because they believe, the Christians believe that in India, that the gospel was given to them by Thomas. So they asked me as a Jewish believer to walk in his footsteps and at the end go up a mountain where he was killed, where he was martyred. And it was a dangerous thing. You know, Christians were being killed, radical Hinduism, and spiritually and physically. And it was by the second day, we were almost killed. Our team was almost killed. And it was, you know, and there was so much that happened. But at the end, I'm standing in front of 70,000 Christians at night. I'm sorry, Indians, they weren't Christians, in robes and night and all that. And I decided I'm going to share the word of God, but I decided first, let me sound the trumpet. Let me sound the shofar. And, you know, freedom, yeah, for freedom. So I do. And then what happens, we couldn't even explain what we get hit with this. It was like imagine being at an exorcism, except multiply this to make it a mass exorcism. And so people screaming, blood-curdling screams, as if masses of spirits are departing. And it turns out that the shofar, you know, God in the Torah says that when you're in warfare, sound the trumpet. It says, and I'll hear it, and I'll give you victory against your enemy. Well, the thing is that for ages in Jewish history, the shofar was used against the enemy, was used against Satan, was used in exorcisms that the spirits flee. But the people in India weren't reading that. They just heard it and happened. And that shows how the reality of this, how real this is. Where there are gods, there are spirits. After that, I gave a salvation message, and about 70,000 people received the Lord. But the first thing was dealing with the spirits.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting something you said too about they have 30 million gods, because 30 is the amount of silver that Jesus Christ was betrayed for by Judas when Satan entered him, when you had a false entity enter him. So I find that interesting that's the number that's used when it comes to that. Now, you had something happen on a mountaintop in Cuba too that involved a goddess.
Yeah. Yeah. After I came back, I was invited to go to Cuba because Fidel Castro was opening the island for 1 month to allow Christians to have events for 1 month. So the Christians asked me to come and sound the shofar, open it up, and I ministered across the island for a month. I'm in a place called Orientes, and off the street, a guy comes off the street, and he says, I have to talk to the Jewish guy. He says, God, we, the believers, we were on the mountains, and we're praying, and the spirit talked to us in Cuba and said, there's a curse on the island. And he said, Jewish people or a Jewish person has to come as part of the breaking of the curse. Now, he said, and then he starts talking about this mountain that's over the city, and he says it's a cursed mountain. They worship the gods. They sacrifice. They perform, you know, spells on there. There's blood sacrifice. It's Santeria, which are the gods of Santeria there. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what? I guess he says, but God told us that the curse is going to be broken. It's going to turn into a blessing and come down the mountain. I said, well, I guess we're going up another mountain. So I go up this cursed mountain. Go up the mountain. At the top is the house of the gods, where all the idols of the gods are. And in front of the house is a man who's calling out to me. And I've never met him before. He comes over to me and says, I've been waiting for you. And I said, he holds in his hand, he has a ceramic plate. In the ceramic plate is a painting of me sounding the shofar. And I have a shofar on my hand. I mean, I brought a shofar up there. Yeah. And he says, no, I'm a Christian. He said, God told me to paint that painting and put the plate in the house of the gods. He said that night something happened. The leather strap broke itself apart. The plate came down, strikes the head of the idol. And then that next morning, the worshipers open up their temple and they find their chief god, the idol, on the floor with her crown removed from her head. And next to it is this plate of this Jewish guy with a shofar. It was the image of the shofar that struck the head of the goddess. And the word came down the mountain, and we found out, we heard later on, reports came that in that city there was revival because people are going to the churches, bringing their idols and saying, smash our idols. We heard what happened on the mountaintop. So no matter, that's just a little taste. No matter where I went, there were the gods. And behind the gods are spirits, and you see the same manifestation. The thing is, this is all to bring it home because This is what ultimately has to do with America and the West, because we are dealing with gods and these principalities without even knowing it. It's even more dangerous.
It is, and they repurpose to then try to overtake a modern day generation.
Yes.
So they've been doing this for generations.
Exactly. The god, they transmorph depending on the culture. You know, you can see the same god. I mean, this is it. This is ancient times where they morph. They keep changing their form, but it's the same principality.
It's the same. Now, how does this mystery manifest in the last Olympics? Because, you know, the Olympics are coming to the U.S. soil in 2028 to Los Angeles. Think about this one for a minute. So this is important.
Yeah. The Olympics, well, you know, the Olympics come from are I'm not talking about the people in it, but it's a pagan. It's a religious festival to Zeus that they revived, you know. But the thing is that at the beginning of this, the last Olympics, they have the opening ceremony. And they have I don't know if you saw it, Amanda, but they have a depiction of the Last Supper.
I saw it. Yeah, I did.
Blasphemous, you know. And they, instead of Jesus and the disciples, it's men in drag, you know. And instead of the body and blood of Messiah, the elements, the food, they have a platter that they take it off the cover. And instead of Jesus or the elements, it's a pagan god. They replace Jesus with a pagan god, Dionysus. Now, it's amazing because, you know, in the beginning of the age, the gospel drove out the gods, the spirits. Yes. Jesus drove out Dionysus and all the rest of them. So now it was actually a prophetic image of what's happening in the culture. It's replacing Jesus with the gods. Because when you take Jesus out, the gods are there. That's what was cast out of you comes back into you. And so and the other thing is, there is a man who actually did this, kind of like a guinea pig, did this, exchange Dionysus for Jesus in the 19th century, and it shows you where it goes. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche, who was a German philosopher.
Interesting.
And he's the one who said, God is dead, and he said, get rid of Jesus. And he also revered, you know, venerated Dionysus. And so, but Dionysus drove his followers insane. So what happens is Nietzsche goes insane. And he ends up, at the end, instead of signing his name as Nietzsche, he signs it as Dionysus, as if he was totally taken over.
Wow.
And the thing is, but his writings went on. And the one who picked up his writings was Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And they made him Nietzsche became their philosopher. And that's what they did. They took out Christianity and they replaced it with paganism, the pagan gods. And look what happened. Well, now we're watching it on a massive global scale. The Olympics was a sign of it. That's how dangerous that is.
Isn't it interesting, too, that the Olympics is coming to U.S. soil months before our next election?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, very significant. Yeah.
So is this the ancient template now? Is this an ancient template that reveals what is unfolding in America currently?
Yeah, one of the mysteries that's opened up, that the Avatar opens up, has to do with this template that is from the Book of Kings. And you see, it wasn't just gods involved. When Israel turned away from God, there were kings and queens who were leading them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same way that as we turned away from God in our culture, there are leaders who rose up. And this is a template that says who's going to rise up, who's going to fall. This template says even exactly how long each leader will have on the national political stage. I mean, starting with Clinton, the Clintons, all the way now to Trump. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's exact. I'll give you an example. This template, I mean, just talk a little bit about it. Is this template actually foreshadows not only the events of 9/11, but the exact day it would happen, the exact hour it would begin. It foreshadows, I mean, everything from Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Obama, for every leader and Trump, and for every leader, there's an ancient prototype leader that the person is following without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, to bring it kind of where we are, it goes through each one. But the thing is that when you take the whole thing, what was happening to our culture, Amanda, up until very recently, is what happened to ancient Israel. The house of Ahab took over the culture and was taking over the political realm, the cultural realm. What we were watching is the American House of Ahab, an anti-biblical agenda and spirit, a wokeism, everything else, taking over every major institution of American culture. I mean, from from the entertainment industry, music industry, the educational system, the Department of Justice, the Army, the corporate world, to the point where people were afraid to even say simple things like there is male and female. I mean, that's how crazy it was. So we were at that point, the same point in the template. But when Israel was, God had a surprise. And the surprise was named Jehu. Mm-hmm. Jehu is the mystery of Donald Trump. I mean, to Israel, he's Osiris, but to America, he's Jehu. And Jehu was not a politician. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trump. You never knew what Jehu was going to say. He was unpredictable. What he's going to say next.
Oh, very. Impulsive. And he drove like a wild man.
Comes in like a storm. Yeah, that's what they get. Yeah. That's where when he's driving the chariot, they say, well, I'm not sure who's driving it, but it's like Jehu because he drives like a madman. Well, it's crazy. So Jay, now listen to this. Remember how Trump began his political career? He was on top of those stairs. He came down the staircase and then began a race.
Yes.
Well, Jay, who began on top of the staircase, came down the staircase and began the race to the throne. And when Jay, who begins the race to the throne, he makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of the nation. So Donald Trump makes an alliance with the religious conservatives. Jehu, as he approaches the capital city, his agenda is to drain the swamp. Well, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that in order to come to the throne, Jehu had to contend against, listen, the nation's former first lady,
Jezebel,
as in Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Now Hillary Clinton was on, I'm not going to say her prototype, but she was on the national stage with her husband on the political stage for 22 years. On her own, in public office or running for president, totals up to 14 years. So 22 years, 14 years on her own. The ancient queen, who she is the, in a sense, an avatar of, was on the national stage with her husband, Ahab, for 22 years, mm-hmm. on her own, 14 years. And then until she has the confrontation with the man, Jehu. Now, the thing is, this even gives the mystery of why the last three elections, why Donald Trump won in 2016,
yes.
did not prevail in 2020, but won in 2024. And the reason is, you know, people look at the vote, the issues of fraud and all that, but here's the thing, here's beyond that, is the template of Jehu is that Jehu, in order to come to power, he first contends against the sitting king, the nation's sitting king. Mm-hmm. Then a woman rises up in the place of the sitting king and has an anti-biblical, anti-God agenda, and he comes against her and he wins. Well, in 2016, Trump first came against Obama. Then a woman with an anti-biblical agenda, Hillary Clinton, template of Jehu, he wins. 2020, though, it wasn't the template of Jehu. He's in power. There's nothing to rise up against, and he doesn't prevail. But in 2024, mm-hmm. the template of Jehu resurrects. And so first, he comes against the sitting king, Joe Biden. He comes head-to-head, defeats him in that televised debate, slays him, just like Jehu slayed the king, Joram. Then a woman comes up in the place who has an unbiblical, anti-God agenda, Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And so it's the template of Jehu. And that is why Donald Trump prevailed, because he is the American Jehu.
And can I share something with you?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Something happened that I started sounding the alarm about with this when I saw this one event happened, and I knew what was coming with her. Because in January of 2023, a statue eerily resembling the false goddess Ishtar was raised above the New York City Appellate Courthouse and placed above the courthouse. And the headlines read, "Move over, Moses and Zoroaster. There's a new female lawgiver in town." That was the announcement that type of spirit was going to try to ascend to the highest seat of our land using a woman.
Yeah, amazing. And there's so much to this. I mean, this mystery that you're talking about, this is going to get deeper and deeper and more explosive. So I'll just tell you.
We'll keep going with it. We'll just keep going.
Well, even Joe Biden is in this mystery.
Yes, he is.
Because now in the template, the one who represent, who's the prototype of Biden, of what Biden did, is the king named Jehoram. Now, Jehoram, there's actually two kings with a similar name, but don't get confused. Jehoram was actually, he knew what was good at the beginning, but he became an apostate and he turned against all these biblical values. Well, so did Joe Biden. You know, originally he was against Roe versus Wade, but he ended up being persecuting pro-life people, you know, in that time. So now Jehoram, in the reign of Jehoram, there is a problem in the nation of border crossings, of foreigners invading, coming into the nation and unchecked. Well, Joe Biden, the American Jehoram. Also, in the time of the reign of Jehoram, Jehoram suffers, at the beginning of his reign, a disastrous military pullout from a foreign land that is humiliating. Well, it was Edom back then. It was Afghanistan for Joe Biden. In the reign of Jehoram, Israel was invaded. There's an invasion of Israel by its enemies. And you know where the invasion begins? In the Bible, in the Gaza Strip.
Interesting.
And the enemies, this is the days of Jehoram, or Joe Biden, the enemy in that invasion goes into the land, takes Israelis hostages back to Gaza. Mm-hmm. So now there's so much to it. Of course, we can only give a taste. But the other thing in the Avatar is that at the end of Jehoram's reign, you know what the issue became? Jehoram becoming physically incapacitated.
Interesting. Yep, because that's what happened with Joe Biden.
We don't even know who was running the government back then. Maybe they had an auto pen or an auto scribe. We don't know. But yeah. And you know, remember when Biden finally pulled out and his own party was relieved? Well, it says in the Bible that when Jehoram departed, it was to no one's sorrow at that time. Mm-hmm. Now the other thing is that at the end of his reign, Jehoram has one son left, his youngest son. His name was Ahaziah. Yep. Didn't follow the Lord.
Ahaziah, yeah.
So Biden has one son left. It's his youngest son, Hunter Biden. Doesn't follow the Lord. But the name Ahaziah comes from the Hebrew root Ahaz, which means to seize. Well, when you take that word to seize in Old German, it becomes Henten, and thus the name Hunter. So Hunter and Ahaziah, it's the same.
Interesting.
I mean, you can't make this up. It's wild. You
know? And he was hunted, Ahaziah was hunted down by, was it Jehu? Became the hunted.
You are right. It was Jehu. Interesting, because Jehu, yeah. You know, because Trump, the American Jehu, was also pushing against mm-hmm. Hunter Biden and the scandals and all that, and he became that. That's yeah, absolutely. Now let me give you something that we don't even have in the notes. We didn't even have in the question, but I just feel led to, because you're
okay.
You get things out of me. In a good way. So all right, now there's another person who's Jezebel. A lot of people don't know it. Jezebel had a daughter, and her daughter's name was Atalyah. Mm-hmm. Now, Atalyah, you know, now remember, we talked about Hillary Clinton, and she's going in the template of Jezebel, but she has a political heir. Her political heir was Kamala Harris. You know, mm-hmm. Kamala Harris, there's something even more explosive. We're going to get there. But in this template is Atalyah. Jezebel's daughter has the same values. Remember, Jezebel is pro-Baal, which is pro-child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was the abortion champion of the century voted by Planned Parenthood. Yeah. Well, Kamala Harris was even more abortion. I mean, that became her main issue.
Yes.
And so, the thing is that what happens? Atalyah comes to power by entering into a political marriage with Jehoram, who is Joe Biden's prototype. Mm-hmm. So Jehoram enters a political marriage with Atalyah. Biden enters a political marriage with Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Now, the thing is that interesting because what happens is eventually Jehoram, as we said, he becomes feeble. You know, he becomes physically impaired, mm-hmm. and he gets out of the picture. And then Atalyah seeks to become the king herself. She seeks to take the throne. Well, that's what happened with Kamala Harris. Now, in order to take the throne, Atalyah murders the children of the royal house of David, because she doesn't want to have any competitors, because she's not legitimate. So she murders them.
She's illegitimate.
Now, she has blood, the blood of children on her hands. Well, you know what? Kamala Harris was the most pro-abortion American candidate for the presidency ever, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. She was not, I mean, radical. I mean, she warred against pro-life people in California. She tried to basically really shut them down. She tried to force the pro-life pregnancy centers to to recommend their people, to force them to recommend abortion clinics for them until the Supreme Court itself overruled her. So she was radical in this.
Yes.
And the thing is, so the issue with Kamala Harris, there was blood. There's children's blood. That was her main issue in the campaign, was abortion. When she was being nominated at that, on that convention, outside that convention, they were performing abortions. Literally the blood of children as she's being anointed. You know, so, and the other thing is, you know, what, you know that, I don't know if you remember this, but there was this guy who exposed Planned Parenthood trafficking in body parts.
Yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And you know what she did? Instead of him being rewarded for that, she met with Planned Parenthood, launched a raid on his house, and took away his evidence, took mm-hmm. away his computer, and then it would lead to him being put on trial. Now, the thing is, Atalia, she warred against the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy's name was David. And so she warred against house of David.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, Atalia is overthrown. And she's her overthrow begins in the temple of God. She's mm-hmm. in the temple courtyard. It begins. Now, the thing is that on the very first day of her campaign, after nomination with Tim Walz, the very first place had a sign. It was a sign that she was going to be defeated. And the sign was, because Atalia, it's all about the temple, was her overthrow. The place where she had her first event was called Temple. And so it was to be the overthrow. So mm-hmm. that's something I wasn't even going to share, but there's so much. And there's more.
Oh, well, there is more. And you know, let me ask you this, because President Trump did something that Jehu did upon becoming king. And you're saying that there's a similar pattern there of this happening. What did he do?
Yeah, the template, the biblical template the book's opening up is that it's what is and what is to come.
Yes.
And one of the things is this, you want to understand what's happening. You want to understand what's happening right now. You cannot understand Trump or what he's doing right now without understanding Jehu.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jehu do when he came to the throne? What Jehu did is he purges the government mm-hmm. of the house of Ahab. Everybody was for Ahab. That's the anti-biblical agenda. He purges them. What has Trump been doing? He's been purging the government of mm-hmm. basically people who have an anti-traditional value, you know, thing, anti-biblical values, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we're not saying everything Trump does is the best thing. We're not saying that. But we are saying God will use whom he uses. So he purged. The other thing that Jehu did is that he dismantles evil houses, the temple of Baal. He dismantles it. What is Trump? He's a dismantler. He's been dismantling mm-hmm. these houses of government agencies that have been used against God.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you know, Amanda, you know who the first one was in the Bible who God spoke about Jehu to? It was Elijah.
Yes.
Remember when Elijah was discouraged? Mm-hmm. Lord, they're all abandoning. And God says, no, no, no. Anoint Elisha, number one. And then anoint a man called Jehu.
Yes.
And then God speaks about the sword of Jehu. Like Jehu's going to come. There's going to be judgment. The sword of Jehu. Well, on the night of Trump's inauguration, he goes to this inaugural ball and they present him with a gift. What's the gift? It's a sword.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the sword, starts waving it and starts dancing with the sword. Now, what president does that? Well, Jehu does it. The sword of Jehu. And that gives, it's part of the mystery that he was going to come with the sword. Jehu was a judgment for those who were against God's purposes. But for God's people, he was a defender. He was giving them relief, you know? And so that is what Trump is, you know? And Trump is a Jehu. Jehu was an answer to a nation that had gotten, yes, Jehu was extreme. But he's an answer to a nation that had become so extreme.
Exactly.
It's all from God that only somebody like a Jehu, so extreme, could shock it to wake it up or mm-hmm. shock it back. And that's what Trump is. And this mystery even gets so exact. Remember I said that this mystery reveals not only who rises and who falls, but how long each will have on the national political stage.
Yes.
So too with Trump. We can open that up.
Okay, you want to open that up? Let's open it up. Let's unpack it.
Okay. All right. Well, with Trump, it's interesting because Trump's always been around since we were young. He's always been around, but he wasn't on the national political stage.
No.
Okay, now if I ask, so that's the biblical parameter. When did it begin? When does it end? That's the span. Well, most people would say, 2016 or 2015. No, I'm going to share something that most people have no idea. Trump actually entered the national political stage and was a candidate for the presidency under the Reform Party. It was his first time. It was in the year 2000. It was called Trump 2000. It was a campaign. Trump 2000. He actually won the California primary.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't know this. So that was in 2000. Now, his last full year that's appointed for his presidency is the year 2028. You know, now, of course, we don't know what he's going to do, but that's the appointed time. So how many years? Well, 2000, that's easy. It's 28 years, 2028,
2000. I know where you're going with this.
Okay, anybody out there, everybody out there, open up the Bible. It says Jehu was on the national stage for 28 years.
He reigned for 28.
Even that. And by the way, listen, Amanda, he had to, in order for that to come true, he had to not prevail in 2020.
That's
so he
true.
Could prevail and be there for 2028.
Mm-hmm. Which means the Lord allowed that to happen the way it happened in order to preserve this.
Yes. Now, are we ready to get more explosive?
Yeah, let's get more explosive. Let's just keep going.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, with you, Amanda, sometimes I come careful. I'm not careful with you because I know you want to just go. All right. About the avatar. Now, the avatar. The book is opening up a number of different avatars. Remember, an avatar is somebody who represents someone or something else. Now the word comes from India. It speaks of one who represents or embodies a god, you know, or is a living image of a god. Now, in the ancient world, in the pagan world, you didn't just have these gods or spirits. The leaders were considered avatars of the gods. I mean, think about Pharaoh. He was considered one of the Egyptian gods. Yeah. That's why he looked so strange when they put all that stuff on them. You know, so were the kings of Babylon. So here's the question. If America and the West have been going so far from God where you have these spirits come back, could we be at the point where you actually can have an avatar of the spirit come into government even high up?
Yes.
You see, the principle is that these spirits seek to possess, but also the spirits, if they can rule a king or queen, they can rule the kingdom. So could it be, and now here's what I'm going to reveal. And I can only give a taste, but I'm going to reveal it. Here's the thing. In the ancient, you know, this concept of avatar, India, the belief is that there's one family or one line or one lineage, one house that specifically, that particularly produces avatars, humans who become avatar, who are avatars of the gods. Well, the house is called the House of Brahman.
Interesting.
They are the house of they're the priests of the god, of the false gods, of the foreign gods. Well, the House of Brahman, to the House of Brahman was born a person whose name was Kamala Harris, born of the House of the Avatars.
Interesting.
In fact, her Hindu family name is Gopalin, which is named after an avatar. So now the avatar has to be joined to a god or goddess. When they gave her the name Kamala, the name Kamala is the name of an ancient goddess. Her middle name is Devi.
Yes.
Which means the goddess. So you have Kamala, the goddess, and that named after Kamala, the goddess. And the thing is, here's the thing. I mean, I can't go into a lot of detail, but here's the thing. Her whole life, Amanda, has been following the pattern of the goddess that she's named after. Example, the goddess in the mythology, Kamala, her birth is linked to the ocean. Her rising is linked to the ocean. Well, Kamala Harris, her birth was linked to the ocean. She was born on the San Francisco Bay, Berkeley, or Oakland, and she rose on the San Francisco Bay, linked to the ocean. The goddess Kamala becomes the number two ruler of the pantheon. So Kamala Harris becomes the vice or the number two of America. Now, what about the number one? That was the king, the God king, who is Vishnu. Now, remember how everybody said about Joe Biden? They called him Sleepy Joe, Sleepy Joe, Sleepy Joe.
Yes.
Vishnu is called the sleeping God. So even that. And you know how Kamala Harris, strange thing, always laughing at the wrong time. At the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the name Devi is in Hindu writings, and you know what it says about the goddess? It said she's called the laughing goddess. She laughs, and at the wrong time, mm-hmm. and she laughs also when she's bringing destruction.
Let's go deeper. Okay.
There's a day in the Hindu calendar that is dedicated to the day of Kamala, or the day of the goddess, the day of Kamala. It's called Sharad Purnima.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that they celebrate the goddess, Kamala Harris was born as India was celebrating the day of the goddess Kamala. And so that same holiday celebrates the coming into the world of Kamala, the goddess Kamala. So she's coming into the world as they're celebrating the coming of the word, and they're chanting her name all over across the world. And that very day is also the day that is reckoned as the birthday, the birth of the goddess Kamala. The woman Kamala is born on the day of the birth of the goddess Kamala. Okay, and nobody could have controlled that.
No.
And by the way, you know, it's not about the person. You know, she doesn't know what she's doing. We got to pray for all these people. We have no enemies, but we got to know what we're dealing with.
Oh, exactly.
You know? And the thing is, now, you know what? I was mentioning the pharaohs, that you see those engravings, those pictures, where they have all the garments of the gods. You know, well, what they would do is they would take the avatar, and they would merge the man's face or the woman's face with the god or goddess. Well, and actually an image appeared in America just before she went into the White House as vice president. It appeared on the internet, and it's her own family put it up. And you know what it was an image of? It was of Kamala Harris merged with a image of a Hindu goddess right there on the internet. And what is the sign, you know, what does it mean, the sign of the avatar? America was founded to be a nation governed by God, under God. If she had won, we would be a nation under one called the goddess. We would be governed by one called the goddess. Think about that as a sign. You know, but I mentioned, you know, the mystery of her birth. What about the mystery of Donald Trump's birth?
Let's talk about that.
There is a mystery there.
Okay.
Donald Trump wasn't born on a pagan holiday. He was born on a day that ushers in a Bible godly holiday, which is, he was born on Friday, which begins the Sabbath.
Yes.
Every Sabbath day, you know this, Amanda, every Sabbath day, there are scriptures that are appointed to be read. Mm-hmm. You know, you open it, it's called the Parsha. It's appointed from ages past for that particular day. So that means there's actually a scripture appointed for the Sabbath of Donald Trump's birth. What is it? It's God commanding, calling forth into the world to the creation of a vessel, a trumpet, a trump of God.
Oh wow. That's quite profound.
Yeah. All over the world, they're reading, you know, they're not chanting the name of a goddess. They're reading the scripture about the coming forth of the trump, when Trump is coming forth, you know, and this mystery even goes to, you know, like, It determines when he would be lifted up, when he was raised up to the presidency. That was 2017. It was actually the year of Jubilee, when the trumpet is lifted up and sounds throughout the land, you know. But also think about like what we were saying at the beginning. You know, what did God say? He said, when you're in warfare against the enemy, sound the trumpet.
Yes.
And you know that scripture. And that's, by the way, that's you. I said it's used in exorcisms, that they would blow it because the spirits flee. I mean, that's the belief. Well, that was also the scripture appointed for the birth of Donald Trump. That's Trump
wild.
To drive out the spirits. Now, think about it. Here he is. What has he been doing? And we're not saying he knows all these things. It's not, a trumpet doesn't have to know, you know, but what has he been doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been rolling back the agenda of the gods. That, you know, the god of child sacrifice, Molech, he's been sounding forth and rolling back the agenda of Ishtar, of gender confusion and mutilation. It's the agenda of the god, something we've been praying about.
Yes.
Now the thing is, so think about if we pull back the veil and that last election, this is why it's so important to pull back the veil. And one of the things is that what was the last election? Well, it was between Donald Trump and Kamala. No, no, no. It was between a man whose name meant trumpet.
Yes.
And a woman whose name means goddess. So yep. When the trumpet and the goddess, when the trumpet sounds, the goddess flees.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so
exactly.
It's like you can't make it up, and it's amazing and it's true.
Now, there's a mystery, too, behind the assassination attempt on President Trump's life. What is that mystery?
Okay, it goes back. Listen, I don't know, Amanda. You probably feel this way, too. There's like behind everything, like when you really open it up, you know, uh-huh. It's like amazing. Well, yeah. Okay, first, you know, Jehu is the only king of the north who the Bible records was anointed. The prophet comes in, pours the oil on him, runs away. He's anointed. Uh-huh. Okay, anointed. Well, could Trump be, it's not about Trump, it's not about the man, it's about God's purposes. We know he's not perfect, but neither was Jehu. I mean, you know, but the thing is that could God have marked him? I mean, given his seal, his anointing. Well, there is one anointing or consecration in the Bible that is more detailed than any other. It's the consecration of the priesthood.
Yes.
If you're gonna serve God's purposes, mm-hmm. you have to be anointed. And the way you have to be consecrated. But they weren't just anointed with oil. They were anointed with blood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Blood, in order to be anointed, to be marked for God's purposes, the priest, the blood must touch the ear of the priest. And so the blood touches the ear of Donald Trump. It has to, according to the mystery, the mm-hmm. Bible, the blood has to touch the right ear specifically. Touches the right ear. The tip of the right ear, touches the tip of the right ear. Then it has to touch the hand.
Yes.
First thing that happens, Donald Trump raises his hand, touches the blood. It's got to touch the right hand. It's his right hand. It's got to touch the right thumb. It's his right thumb coming up. Then it goes down to the feet. Now, the thing is, the only way the feet can be involved is if the shoes of the priest are removed. What happens? Donald Trump is pushed down to the ground where the blood is, and his shoes are removed. That's the only way you could do this. And in fact, he's saying, where are my shoes? But that has to be. It has to be. But then, listen, and there's so much more to it, but one thing.
Yeah.
The entire ceremony, ancient rite, took 7 days. On the seventh day, from the time the blood touches the ear, the man receives the vestments of the office where he's going to serve, okay, for God's purposes. So what happens if you count to the seventh day from the blood touching his ear? Now, it's Hebrew. And you know, Hebrew, it's the sundown to sundown. So the first day is when the blood touches the ear. But then that Saturday night begins the second day. Sundown, you count sundown to sundown. The seventh day begins on Thursday night, July 18th. Anything happen? Thursday night, July 18th, Trump is standing before the world and he receives the nomination, the vestment to become the president of the United States with that patch on his ear saying he's the one who was marked by the blood. So the thing is, it's not about man. Listen, God has a priestly purpose, you know, to all these things that are happening. And that's going to bring us where we are.
It does. And you talk about, too, this mystery of the black obelisk in the book. Okay. And this has something to do with President Trump and America.
Yeah. Well, there's only one object on planet Earth that has an image of someone from the Bible that was made when they actually lived. You know, only one. And you know, it's called the Black Obelisk. And they discovered it. And you know who it is from the Bible? It's Jehu. Jehu.
Well, okay.
The trumpet. Now, and you know what's the picture? You know what it shows?
It shows
Jehu on his knees humbling himself.
Wow.
Now, interesting, because that same moment, like we talk about the anointing. And remember, Trump was changed. He said, listen, God saved my life because I have a purpose for God. But the thing is, he was pushed down to the ground and they took a picture. And the picture matches the ancient image of Jehu. The American Jehu matches the ancient Jehu in stone. And he's on his knees, bowed over. His hands are where Jehu's hands are. I mean, it matches the picture.
Wow.
And the message is that, listen, you can't make America great again unless we turn America back to the God
Amen.
Who made America great on our knees. If my people will humble themselves,
Second Chronicles,
seek my face and pray and turn from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land.
Yes.
So that is what this is really all about. You know, Donald Trump's being kind of, he's kind of being drawn into a mystery that he never planned, but it's God. Yeah. And we got to pray. And here's to bring it kind of home for now, you know, is that God is, you know, Jehu was a window. God gave Israel a window. Mm-hmm. And that window was, it was a reprieve. You know,
yes.
you know, Trump dodged a bullet. We dodged a bullet. Because
yes.
if it had gone the other way, we would be talking something different right now. That would have sealed America.
Yeah,
so God gave us a window. And the thing is, it's not about the window. It's not about Trump. The window is there that we, if my people, the window is there that for revival. The only thing that can save America is revival.
Amen.
You know, because if we change the government, but we don't change the hearts, the unchanged hearts are changing the government back. And if we drive out the agenda of the gods, but we don't fill it with God, then the vacuum is going to be filled with the gods coming back.
Yes.
So we've got a chance now, Amanda. We've got a window, a prophetic window that we don't know if we're going to have it again, this one. And we have a chance, but we got to pray as never before for revival. We have to work and speak and proclaim the gospel as never before for revival. And we can't just do that. We have to actually start living in revival. We got to, God's people have to choose revival, because if we choose revival, revival begins now. If there's anything in our life that shouldn't be, we got to get it out. If
Amen.
There's anything that should be in our life, it's not in, we got to get it in. We got to step up. We know the calling already, but this could be the most amazing moment if we take it, if we seize it. Because if we choose revival, we can bring revival to America. And if America has revival, it touches the world.
Amen. It does. And you know, the church, we have to be the watchman on the wall. We have to get up on the wall. You cannot live in blindness anymore, spiritually speaking. We have to be up on the wall as watchmen, announcing these things and exposing them and warning of what's coming so it can be cut off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The if we don't rise now, we have no excuse, because
Amen.
God has really given us. I mean, there are things we never thought we'd see. I mean, in the natural, we never thought. I mean, the rolling back of an agenda that had never been rolled back. You know,
right.
I mean, we were praying for it. You know, we had that gathering in Washington. You know,
yes.
we smashed the altar of Ishtar. You know, which, and we've never seen that agenda of Ishtar roll back. You know, sexual gender and the whole. And it's rolling back. But if we just let that happen and we don't go full blast with God, we have missed our call as watchmen. You know, this
yeah,
is our moment.
I agree.
We got to go. This is the whole point. And that's really the point of the Avatar. Not only to reveal all these things, and there's so much more, of course, but it's to reveal it, but it's to take us to the prophetic moment we're in right now.
Amen. And it is a highly prophetic moment. I very much agree with you on this and the chance we have in this window of time that the Lord is giving us. So where can people get a copy of Avatar? Because there's other mysteries you reveal and you unpack in this as well. So where can they get a copy of Avatar?
Thank you, man. Yeah, I try to do as much as I can in the time, but still there's so much more. But it said you just got a taste of it, but I hope I gave a good taste. But this is, the Avatar is going to be literally everywhere. I mean, Walmart may have it, you know, Barnes, wherever there are books, but easiest way is just go, if you go online right now, you should be able to see it, whether wherever you go, Amazon or any other place. It's, but don't confuse it with a movie. You know, this is what it looks like. And don't confuse it with, there might be some other books with that title. So this is the book. It says The Return of the Ancients and the Future of America. I pray that people get it, not just for themselves, but get it for people in your life who need to wake up or be aware or need to get saved, because God is real and this is real and we are in a real time. So that should be everywhere right now. If you go online, you should see it.
And it's time to pull back the veil on the kingdom of darkness and
expose yeah.
their cycles and their weaponry and how they operate and how they have infiltrated in America. So this is the window we have been given to do this.
Absolutely. And Amanda, you're doing that. That's why I always love being on with you. There's no compromise. And that's what it's about. We got to be like that. You know, listen, there's a lot of mercy. God has mercy for all of us. Mm-hmm. But then we got to rise up with no compromise. You know, God has a calling. It's great. You know, this is a moment. If the bad has been going from bad to worse, it's time for the good to go from good to great. You know, this is a time where God wants us to be great. Go for it. You know, that's what it's all about.
Amen. I agree with you. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, thank you so much for joining us. We always love having you on.
It's always a blessing, Amanda. Keep up. Oh, by the way, just say, people ask if they want to go anywhere, it's hopeoftheworld.org. If you want to get
yes.
me stuff, my teachings, hopeoftheworld.org. And I'm on YouTube and Facebook. But Amanda, keep it up. Everywhere, you know, every time I do the program with you, I want you to know, you know, people come up to me and say, Oh, you were on a, you were with Amanda. You were with Amanda, and people from our congregation. So you have you have a wide impact. You're touching so many lives by just standing for God without any compromise. Keep going, my sister. You know, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Praise God. Thank you, Rabbi Jonathan. God bless you.
God bless you.
And that was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Always fun to prophetically banter with him and prophetically go back and forth. So I thank him for his time. And yes, please, if you can like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it to our platforms. I also wanted to share a few other things with you before we close. Right now as well, Brace for Impact, which is interesting because he's got the avatar and I've got coming out in April. Brace for Impact, 5 rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point. It is on our arcofgrace.org. It's on our website on the front page. You can go and click on it there and pre-order it right now on Amazon. And I believe Charisma House also has it available for pre-order. It is coming out April of 2026. It is explosive. What is in this book and the prophetic events that are all converging actually in a very rare sequence of events that are happening about over a 2-year window. So you can go to arcofgrace.org today. You'll see Brace for Impact on the front page and you can pre-order that as well. Also, our events section. So we have something coming up. It will be going to the events section when we announce it, but something very big is happening with the sanctuary and at Ark of Grace. We are waiting for the go-ahead to announce it. So when we do, that'll probably be up on our events section as well, but you could go to arcofgrace.org/events. It shows you where I will be traveling to, as well as it has our address there. It has other information you might be looking for having to do with the sanctuary and things of that nature. Also with the ministry, if you want to send something, it is all in the events section, arcofgrace.org/events. And two more things as we close tonight, we're going to put up QE Strong and Givaderm real fast. This is QE Strong. Yes, we have used these pain patches on Toby. It is drug-free therapy that has to do with pain, anxiety. It also has to, they have a patch for allergies. They have red light therapy as well for your joints. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, search QE Strong, click on it, use promo code ARC for a discount on all of their products, as well as Givaderm, plant-based, all-natural, food for your face, one of the most amazing skincare lines I have used. My husband, Chris, uses it now as well. I happen to love Uplift as well as the eye cream. Their body lotion is absolutely incredible. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. And thank you to everyone for tuning in to this incredible interview today. Always wonderful, Rabbi Jonathan coming on and us being able to prophetically go deep and banter back and forth as well and flow in the Lord. So I will probably be back on live on Thursday. We will announce, we are putting out shorts as well, so you can look for those as well. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, and 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. I say that often because we have to cleanse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have to cleanse our hearts. As well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I speak these scriptures every single day. And I do that because the word of God is living and active. It is a weapon. You have to be disciplined in using a weapon and you actually have to use it for it to be effective. As well as Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, that was straight spiritual intelligence from the throne of God, teaching the disciples how to pray. I incorporate it into my prayer life as often as I can, and I encourage you to do the same, as well as Hebrews chapter 11, which is one of the greatest chapters on faith. Faith is a gift. Faith is a weapon. Faith can move mountains, and we have to understand that we have to grow in our walk with the Lord. We have to grow in faith. We have to go deeper with our faith, because as we go deeper, we go higher. And as we go higher in our faith, stronger and stronger opponents from the kingdom of darkness are actually released to try to oppose us. And this is why we have to grow in it in order to overcome when we end up ascending and the enemy attempts to dispatch a stronger adversary. This is why we're sharpened in these battles and have to grow from this. So I just encourage you in the word always as we leave. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we will see you back live, most likely on Thursday. Keep the faith. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs.